God has cleansed, Acts chapter 10, 9 to 23. The gospel mandate that Jesus gave to the disciples is a mission to all nations of the world. In other words, there is no one that is outside the scope of the gospel's reach. There is no one that cannot be saved. And we were at the Sun Chung Sang Memorial Museum, and we saw the calligraphy Bo Ai, and we were told by our guide it means universal love. And she said to us, he learned this from Jesus. You remember the children's chorus? Well, how do we sing that? Those of you who were there. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in this sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Yeah. That is the love that God would have us to bring to a dying world. This love of God through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This is the gospel door that was opened when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for the sins of the world. And His resurrection from the dead, the third day. All who believe avert the judgment of hell fire. All who believe receive the eternal life with God in heaven. And this mandate was first given to a group of unlearned Jewish men who formed the nucleus of the New Testament church, being Jewish in upbringing. They had to understand the broadness of God's heart, and that's the lesson that we want us to learn today. God would have us to reach out to all, no distinction. May God help us to take away all prejudice, for the gospel is to be given to all as God would lead us. So this gospel, this salvation plan of God, as you will see, is not only for the Jews, but the Jews are the first recipients of the gospel because God has given this nation to be His witness to all the nations of the world. That's the reason why God raised the nation of Israel. And God has chosen this nation of Israel, this people from whom the Savior of the world will come or has come. The Jews, they were the privileged people with the message of salvation that only Jesus saves. And God opened the spiritual eyes of this group of unlearned Jews to see the efficacy of the gospel. They are to proclaim this message far and wide. And this is a realization of the mandate, the length, the breadth, the depth of that mandate that was given to them after Jesus ascended to heaven. And they are not to do so by their own wisdom, but it will be a God-directed, Holy Spirit-enabled mission to reach the unsaved world. This is the mission that the church, we are on, that God has given to us. The book of Acts is a historical record of the initiation and enactment of God's plan to reach the world with the message that only Jesus saves. And this is the message, the only message that we have in a Christian church to a dying world. Our story brings us to the Mediterranean coast of Caesarea, you remember? To the family of this man, Cornelius. Caesarea, as we said last week, was a modern seaport during those days. It was built by Herod, and it was there in Caesarea that God's grace visited a military commander, someone whom an ordinary Jew would despise and avoid. No contact. But God would lead Peter to make this 50-kilometer journey, just like, you know, we receive a call. We are here in the west to go all the way to the east, 50 kilometers, to share the gospel with someone quite far away, at the other end of the island. Well, this was a mission that God will bring Peter to do. We saw last week in the message, "Thy prayers come up to God," the portrait of a God-fearer, how God would prepare the heart of a man to receive the gospel. God has to prepare the heart. And we who would be obedient to the gospel mandate, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, would be willing to obey the voice of the Spirit to go and bring the gospel. And this is what we want us to see, how God orchestrating the salvation of a soul. And we saw last week that this man, Cornelius, in his piety, in his family, and in his charity, how his prayers reached God, in a sense that he was someone who wanted to find and seek peace with the living and true God, albeit in his own imperfect ways. But God would lead him to the truth. And we want to see how God has prepared the heart of this man for salvation, how he would be saved. And we want us to think and consider the motions of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding the process of man's salvation. Right? They were so far apart, 50 kilometers apart. How is it that God is able to bring two men together and to cause Cornelius and the family to be saved? This is the work of the Holy Spirit that the Father has promised to send after Christ's ascension. The church was asked to pray, to seek the Lord. And we see Peter praying, seeking the Lord. It is in those times when we would take time to pray, spend time with God, that the Spirit of God can lead, guide us, direct us to do His will. We are brought on this exciting journey to see how God would convert this family. As you know, the city of Caesarea is a major seaport. Major seaport like that of Athens, like that of Alexandria. It was built in those days as a special phenomena with new, what we said, sophisticated technology of Herod's engineers to bring deep waters in that port that enables ships to come near. And we said also that in the bustling prosperity of this port, we want us to imagine, right, this picture, no different from what we are, a seaport. The set statue of Augustus Caesar. Herod built the statue of Caesar, huge, tall one, just directly facing the port. So if you would enter the port, you would see this is the idol of the city. And God would manifest His presence to begin the work of tearing down the false gods of this world, and in particular in Caesarea. And we saw last week how the Cornelius was visited by an angel at 3 p.m., the ninth hour of the day. While he was praying, he was told that his prayer is acknowledged by God, and God has a plan to help him receive the living and true God. And so the Lord wants us to see that for a man to be saved, he does not use angels, but he used another man. He did not ask the angel to give the gospel to Cornelius, but he asked the angel to direct men to go and find this man, Peter, to come and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see that Peter was a vessel fit for the Master's use, ready at the call of God to do his bidding. And we want to observe and see this process. Remember, at last week we said in verse 3 of our text in Acts chapter 10, how Cornelius saw a vision. Verse 3 says, he saw in a vision, evidently the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? It was a special encounter that he had. When we are serious, we want to seek God with all our heart, would God not come and visit us? Surely he will. This was the experience of the man Cornelius. And now the angel instructed him, send men to Joppa, verse 5 says, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Wow, all the details are given. This would be the right man. You'll be able to find him. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. So the exact address is given. Right? Which unit, which house, and the owner of the house is given. And the angel spake unto Cornelius, departed. And he called his two household servants, a devout soldier of them that waited upon him continually. Well, he called his servants. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So Joppa is 50 kilometers away, right, the place where Jonah bought the boat to escape from God's call to preach to the people in Nineveh. 50 kilometers away from where Cornelius Inn in Caesarea. Right, and we want to consider two thoughts. Okay, as we see how God would send Peter, this unlearned fisherman, to bring the gospel, to save this Gentile Roman soldier. No unsavable sinner. Verse 9 to 16. There is no one that is beyond the reach of God, that God is unable to save. There is no one too sinful that God will not save. No unsavable sinner. Verse 9 to 6. Right? Peter will be given a vision how he is to go and declare the gospel to a Gentile. Right? You know that a Jew and a Gentile has no dealings. You don't even invite them to your house. You do not have a meal with them. But this was a mission that God had given, that God will give to Peter. And this will be the account of how God would speak to his heart to do so. And what can we learn? Well, the lesson that if God were to direct us to preach the gospel to someone, anyone, maybe a most unlovable person, may we not hesitate. Peter did not. He understood the will of God, and he was willing to submit to God's will. And the second thought from 10 to 23, go with the gospel. Right? No unsavable sinner, verse 9 to 16. And secondly, go with the gospel, verse 10 to 23. Verse 9 to 16. Oh, sorry, the second part is 17 to 23. Right. God has prepared the heart of this man, Cornelius, this Gentile man. And we want to think, us to think concerning the mandate that God has given to this unlearned Jewish fisherman, in which Peter was one of them. You remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What was he trying to say? Well, God was giving to him the authority to open the kingdom of heaven to men through the proclamation of the gospel. And what the disciples are to do, they are commissioned to do, is to facilitate that entrance of this whom God will lead them to the kingdom of heaven. And so these keys are symbolic of the authority that God gave to them. Whatever they would bind, meaning that whoever they would give the gospel too, and they will be willing to believe, heaven's door will be open. Wow, what power is given to them. Not to the angels, but God is giving them to men, saved, called to be fishers of men. Peter was one such. And we observe that Peter was the first disciple to comprehend the person of Christ and his deity, and to confess, be it before the other disciples. He was commissioned to open that door. First to the Jews, 3,000 were saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, when the gospel is preached. And now you would see how God would direct him to give the gospel to the Gentiles. Now that is the rest of the world, you know. The Jews are only a small group of men. But this key that Peter was asked to open is to open the possibility for the salvation of numerous billions of souls around the world, throughout the nations of the world. So Peter and the apostles later will be given the understanding of God's will through a vision. God will give Peter a vision in order that he may understand the will of God to reach all the world. And that is the gospel mandate that was given to Peter. And we shall see how God would show him his will. Verse 9 of our text. On the morrow, as they went out on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Sixth hour is noontime, 12 p.m. Time to eat. And our text says, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. That was lunch time. But he fell, the Bible says, into a trance. The word there literally means to stand outside of yourself. That's the meaning of the Greek word there. Right? It comes from the verb to stand, and to stand from outside yourself. Stand from yourself. Right? And this is what God would give to Peter to see the vision of heaven, very much like the vision that God gave to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, verse 7. Remember, Daniel, at the 69th year of their captivity in Babylon, wanted to know what is the future for his people. He knew from Jeremiah's prophecy, God had revealed to them that they would be in Babylon for 70 years. But what after that? So he sought the will of God through fasting, and God caused him to be praying for 3 weeks. There was a delay in God revealing to him the future. And here you see it is the same word there that is used to describe the trance, the vision that was given to Daniel. Now it was given to Peter. It's going to be a significant vision. God is conveying something to him. Verse 11 of our text says, "And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth." Verse 12, "Wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him," verse 13 says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, for Peter, it is a terribly contradicting vision to his knowledge as a Jew. Because in the Torah, it is taught to him in the book of Leviticus that they are not to eat the unclean animals. Leviticus 11 gives to us four criteria for their eating habits. And they are not to eat land animals that had both chew the cud and have a split hoof. The word chew the cud means, you know, certain type of animals who eat their food, but they do not simply digest their fruit immediately into the stomach, but they would have the food somewhere in between, and then it comes back to the mouth and, you know, it's further chewed. So these are that type of animals. Right? Rabbits are one of those animals, and this has been used as an illustration of how God's people is to meditate upon his word, right? To chew slowly so that you would get all the nutrition. But here, what it means is that in the book of Leviticus is that these are unclean animals, sea creatures that have fins and scales, winged insects that had jointed legs to hop, and birds of prey, reptiles, other crawlers were off limits. So what are these animals? These animals include camels, rabbits, pigs, eagles, vultures, owls, weasels, rats, lizards. All these are prohibited, not allowed to eat. Unclean animals. But he saw all these unclean animals in the sheet. And they are mingled together with the pure or the ritually pure animals. And verse 14 of our text says, Peter told the Lord, "Lord, I have never eaten any of the prohibited food. You know, I am a pious Jew. I follow your law. I wouldn't break it." And indeed, during those times, the Jews were very, very strict in wanting to obey these ceremonial laws. And there were those times in Israel's history that they would rather die, lose their lives, than to break the law and defile themselves by eating this unclean food. So Peter understood very well the law of God as a Jew. Right? The Lord's word is very, very clear. Leviticus 11, 43 to 44 says, "Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth." So it is quite interesting and natural that Peter would react to this vision with great perplexity. Right? But you see Peter slowly coming to understand God's will concerning the salvation of Gentiles. And you see, Peter would, you would notice, all right, that he was given a one night before the next day the man would come and ask him to go and to meet the family of Cornelius. Peter must have thought and considered and wondered, what is the Lord saying to him? He must have searched the scriptures and what the Lord wanted to convey to them, right, to demonstrate that indeed God has a plan to save all the nations of the world. And he wanted them to know, I wanted the people to know, that every nation, every people whom God has made clean shall not be unclean. Right? And so the implication of this vision, right, is that after Jesus Christ is come with the inauguration of the new covenant that has been given, where Peter is to open that door of the gospel to the Gentile, God is lifting the distinction between clean and unclean foods, a boundary that separates Jews from Gentiles. Right? God says, no more boundary between you. That's why later on you would see Peter receiving the guest, the two men from Cornelius' household who came to search for him. Remember, the angel gave him the address. This is a place to go at the seaport. Go to this house by the seaside and find this man, Simon the tanner. This is the house, a Jewish home. And Peter would be taught by that vision that there would not be any more a distinction that God would impose. So Peter saw that vision of the sheet, right? That word means a linen cloth, with four corners, right? Four corners representing the earth and its inhabitants. How God sovereignly chose this time, about noontime, when Peter would be hungry, to see all this food before him, and God said to him, eat, no more distinction. So God is saying to him that, you know, he would be able to go to a Gentile and do this work of the gospel. And this is not new. Jesus, while he was on earth, himself witness to the woman at the well, remember, in Samaria, John chapter 4. And he also witnessed to the Syrophoenician woman, Mark chapter 7, or Matthew chapter 15. So Jesus himself witnessed to the Gentiles. And here God is saying to Peter to understand, right, God's promise through Abraham that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Indeed, it's going to be fulfilled. Right, the blessing that was to come through Jesus Christ, Abraham's seed. And as Peter searched the scripture, he would have known and understand that the Holy Spirit would have led him to see that Gentile evangelism is not a new teaching. Isaiah 42, 6 to 10. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. What prisoners? Well, prison, those who are in prison by the bondage of sin. God would give them the light, save them, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven image. So the big image of Caesar in Caesarea is going to be taken down. Taken down because God is going to cause Cornelius and the family to be saved. First of many that will be saved in that city. And so Isaiah 42 verse 9 says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Indeed, God's plan was to use the Jews to be a witness to the Gentiles. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 4. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed by thy side. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 28 describe this covenant of promise in reaching out to the Gentiles. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your unfilthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in that land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So indeed, there is that mandate Peter was trying to piece together. Right? And you remember during the time of Jesus' ministry, he declared all food to be clean. You turn with me to Acts. Mark chapter 7, verse 15. Mark chapter 7, verse 15. So the disciples are now being led, right, to do the will of God. What Christ has come to do, they will fulfill it well. verse 15 of Mark chapter 7. It says here, "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears, let him hear." So Peter was to be awakened to what God would want him to do. All right? And Jesus emphasized it. He emphasized that it is actually the sinful thoughts and tendencies of the people that defile them, not what they eat. Right? Jesus said in verse 18 of Mark chapter 7, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat." Then verse 20 to 25, he said, that which come out of the man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And you remember, after this event, Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon also in the coastal area, you know, of the Mediterranean Sea. And how he would save a Gentile woman. So now God is impressing upon Peter the reality of his teaching by giving him this vision. It was a crucial time, critical time. The Gentiles are to be incorporated into the new people of God. They are to be given the gospel. And so this first thought, we want us to see from verse 9 to 16, no unsavable sinner. The gospel mandate is given to all. No one is to be excluded. And so we should, if God would lead you through His Spirit to share the gospel with someone, please do not quench the Spirit. Please do not resist the leading of the Spirit to share the gospel. Verse 17 to 23, go with the gospel. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house. So they came knocking at Simon's door, stood before the gate. Verse 18. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. You see, when we are doing the work of God, the Holy Spirit lead and guide us and show us the way. And we are to be willing to hear the voice of God. And you would see that, you know, during those times when we would take time to pray, spend time with God, that God would speak to us. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. So God knew, right? The Lord knew that Peter was still in doubt. He was not sure what he understood in the vision. And you remember the vision was given to him how many times? 3 times. Okay, he saw the animals coming down. That vision was repeated to him to let him see clearly the will of God. Sometimes we need to be reminded and reminded again what God would want us to do. This is the mandate, this is the gospel mandate, the great commission that is given to us, that we are to reach all. No one is to be excluded. No one is unsavable, as it were. It's a sobering lesson, isn't it? Oftentimes we would choose, in a sense, who we want to evangelize. Some people we don't want to, because we look at them, we say, "Aiya, cannot do one." Because of this, something we don't like, or that we don't like. But the Lord says that there should not be any that should be called unclean. There is no unsavable sinner. Okay? And that is the interesting understanding that Sun Yat-sen had, Bo Ai. Universal love. The love that God has given through His only begotten Son to save the world. Well, for Him to save His own nation under the imperialistic system for 2,000 years. They worshipped the Son of God, the Emperor. Now, that's not. So we were told by the guide, right, that the dragon was taken down. Right, and it was placed there, the staff. And they all represent the various states, the major cities in China. God is beginning that work, you see, to reach, to break the stronghold of darkness, and then allowing the gospel to come in. And today, after many years, we see the gospel making inroads. And so our text tells us in verse 21, "Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? Why are you looking for me? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by the holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear words of thee." Ah, you see how important you are as an ambassador for Christ when he calls you to save, to preach the gospel to someone, to bring them the message of salvation. Right, to lead them in the sinner's prayer so that they may come to salvation in Jesus Christ. How important it is. It's not the angel's job. It's our job. But you see how God would prepare the hearts of the people. And those whom God has prepared the heart and you yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will give the harvest. This was the key that God gave to Peter. Whatsoever ye will bound will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye will loose will be loose. You have been given that power, the authority through to God to give the gospel, to snatch someone from hell and bring them on the way to heaven. Wow. Great authority, great mandate that God has given to you. And the Lord wants you to do His work. So, Peter's warm invitation to this man indicates that he is beginning to understand what the Lord is teaching him about ritual impurity. Look at the heart. Don't look at the externals. This is what defiles the man. And the greater test will be for Peter to enter the house of the Gentile. This we shall see next week. May the Lord bless the preaching of His word. No unsavable sinner, 9 to 16. Go with the gospel, 17 to 23. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for giving us Thy truth. Indeed, there is no unsavable sinner. And Lord, may Thou help us to be sensitive to the leading of Thy Spirit, that we may be a useful instrument without prejudice to share the gospel to men and women, that they may find salvation and eternal life in heaven. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.